And commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right?
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in today to discuss our show with my host, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And today is the last Wednesday, not only of the month, but of the year. So what does that mean?
Joni Skillbread's here.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to end it with a bang today.
There we go.
Yes.
And, you know, you really are an exceptional person. But don't let that go to your head. You can do better.
I hope my kids are listening.
But you researched something that was personal to me and the family.
It was a request.
Yes, it was a request.
Yes.
And it was Ruth Barrick. And most people in today's generation have never heard of this lady.
Well, she passed away about 50 years ago.
1980, I believe.
Yeah,
it was.
It's getting right close.
Yeah.
Almost 50 years ago.
And, you know, she was a very, very close friend of our families, my parents. And
mm-hmm.
that's how I remember growing up, seeing her at Thanksgiving, and just the radiant, elegant lady would come into our house for Thanksgiving, and that's how I remember her.
I know in the Women's Igloo, in the Pioneers, which I am technically still president, only in a few days I hand the gavel over.
Okay.
But she was a president of the Women's Igloo, and in the Pioneers organization here in Fairbanks, she is still talked about to this day. She was very revered.
Yes.
And you don't get that way in that group without really, earning it.
Yeah. That is earning it. So
yep.
You gave me an outline of this, and this is Fairbanks. This is basically some of her background. She was 13 years a director for the Alaska National Bank. She was president and board of the Northward Building Corporation. She was the State Board of American Cancer Society. She was 4 years as the president of Alaska Crippled Children's Association.
She also spent many years on the board there.
Yeah.
She spent many years, not just as president.
And both on the Thomas and the Ween Library Borough Library Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And the Noel Ween Library Auditorium is named after Ruth Barrick. I did not know that. Shows
yes.
me how often I go to the library. Served many years organizing and as president of the PTA
mm-hmm.
and the Fairbanks Carnival Association and Pioneers of Alaska 1952 Auxiliary President. Her husband was a member of the Masons who was also a mayor of Fairbanks because she was an Order of the Eastern Star and was one of the Rainbow Girls.
No.
No?
No. She was in the Order of the Eastern Star, and she was a matron of the Rainbow Girls.
Okay.
And she moved up through the chairs in the Eastern Star, too. Everything she got involved with, she worked her way right up to the top.
Yep.
Yes.
She was the Red Cross Gray Lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was a member of the Fairbanks Concert Association, the Eagles Auxiliary, the Republican Women of Fairbanks, the Seroptimist Club, Alaska Methodist University trustee, and that's out of Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
UAF supporter donated the Carillion and sponsored a scholarship fund. Avid fine Alaskan art collector and sponsor of many art shows in Fairbanks. 1955 recipient of the Farthest North Press Club Award for her philanthropy, encouraging cultural advancement of higher education in Alaska. Yep, she was born in Iowa in April of 1883.
April 13th. I have her birth certificate right here. And the interesting thing about this is what is known as a delayed certificate of birth because she didn't have a birth certificate. And so she had to file for one of these, and she filed for it in 1970.
You know, I think then she was probably putting together her final affairs in order and probably needed something like this.
And she used as her proof of who she was the federal census record for 1910 and a Dominion life assurance application from 1956.
Wow.
Yes.
April 13th, Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yes. So she's an Iowa girl. She grew up not too far from my mother.
Then she got married.
She did. And I think a lot of people here don't know that she was married before she came here.
Yeah.
And she married a man by the name of Frank Wilson. And he worked at the telephone company. He was a wire chief. And he was working out of Fremont, Nebraska, or Fremont, yeah, I think it's Nebraska. They're right there on the border. And her brother-in-law was one of the bosses there. And so it's no surprise that Frank got that position. They met, you know, courtships didn't last forever back then. You know, they met, fell in love, got married. And all was well. They got married on the 22nd of September in 1916. She was 22. He was 23, according to the marriage record. And
that's sort of late at that age getting married, you know, back then. 22.
Kind of. Yeah. Well, so they got married, and they were married for a couple of years. And in June of 1918, tragedy struck. They were with some friends, and they were at the lake. And she was in the water with a bunch of other people, and he dove into the lake. They were at a local resort and hit his head on the bottom. And they pulled him out, and they took him to go do surgery. He had a spinal injury, and he ended up dying.
Basically, he broke his neck.
He did. And, you know, in 1918, they were pretty limited what they could do for that. Now, yes. you got to consider what happens when you are, she was 24.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's getting to be considered old. Mm-hmm. She's 24. She's a widow. She lost her husband, which means you lose the income. You lose probably the house. You know, you lose everything. They didn't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had the kind of job where he had a lot of life insurance. So she was in a pretty precarious position. And her brother was up here working, and he was out at Kentishna, and he came back for a visit. And pretty much in those days when this happened to you, you needed to find another husband, and you needed to get married soon. You could not stay single if you didn't have the resources. So he said, well, I'm sure he told her the pickings were much better in Alaska than in Iowa.
But she was at the same time, she was having a nervous breakdown with everything.
Well, yeah, because look at what was on the line.
Yeah, but she's having a nervous breakdown.
She's a 24-year-old with no assets.
And then what does she do, though? She goes out on a 5,000-mile soiree.
To see her brother.
Yeah, just I'm taking off. I'm going out there.
Well, he was with her.
I'm going to Alaska.
He brought her up here, and I'm sure that he told her.
They met in California, came up.
No.
I thought they met
No, her family was from there. They went, he's Jim Barrick, her husband, her second husband, was on there. The boat. Okay. He was from California.
Okay.
So she went up with her brother, and I'm sure he told her, you come to Alaska, there's like, you know, 50 men for every woman.
That's an underestimate. And we're about 90 to 1 odds.
You're gonna have a way better time of it if you come up with me. You come up to Alaska. And so she did. And on the boat coming up here, she's with her brother, and that's where she met James Barrick.
Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And I did survive Friday's melee in the KFAR studio here with all the Nerf guns. I was executed multiple times. And the first thing I do this morning is I bring over a couple Nerf weapons, ammunitions that I find here in the studio. And hopefully we will not have a repeat of that.
I would have protected you if I was
you
here.
Would have lived, you would have. You would have let them shoot me like they did.
No, I would have protected you.
We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Here's a king called Gorilla, the fireworks beginner of a little munchin band, swinging pyrotechnic thriller. He's a beating on his chest, cause he knows that he's the best. A bird loving monkey, much more funky than the rest. When you're looking for excitement on the 4th of July, Gorilla fireworks and you will go light up the sky.
Happy New Year! The countdown to midnight New Year's Eve is on. Celebrate this New Year's Eve and let loose with a party to remember from Gorilla Fireworks. Alaska's dark winter nights are the best time for fireworks. The colors are brilliant. Skyrockets sparkle off the snow. Exploding color balls break into beautiful patterns of color hundreds of feet in the air. It's magic on a dark winter night. The pyrotechnicians at Gorilla can help you select your own spectacular show from the best selection of fireworks in Alaska with the guaranteed lowest prices. Have some fun this New Year's Eve. At the stroke of midnight, bring in the new year with a bang.
Gorilla fireworks and you are going light up the sky.
Guaranteed lowest prices. Locally operated by North Pole Christian School.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's gonna start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage to power lines, cars, and homes. Specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
Did you miss your favorite local show on KFAR Radio? Just log on to our website, KFARradio.com, and click the Archives tab to find all past episodes of shows like Problem Corner, Health Talk, Fairbanks Foodies, Alaska Realty Today, Shooter's Corner, and the Compos Outdoor Show. Hours of entertaining, informative, local programs produced exclusively for KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Online at KFARradio.com. We are KFAR, the heartbeats of Alaska. KFAR weather.
Mainly clear skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 9 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 22 below. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 13 below. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Joni Skillbrand. We're talking about a very wonderful lady in Fairbanks' history, Ruth Burnett. And, on a day like this, you always hear me say this, don't make them like that anymore. They just
no.
Don't.
They don't.
So she comes to Alaska. Mm-hmm. And the first thing she does is she goes out into the bush.
Well, she comes to Alaska at the height of the flu epidemic that was raging in the lower 48, which was a big deal to travel. It's mentioned in the newspaper article. And she is on the boat. There were a few noteworthy people, and this was the first load that was going to come up, the spring rush, because a lot of people would leave for mm-hmm. the winter. And so it was in early May that they came up. And her brother was Bill Campbell, and he was known as Big Bill, and he was a miner from Esther Creek. But he was going out to the Kantishna. And there were a bunch of Fairbanks people that were going out there at that time, and they were going to be out at a place called Roosevelt.
Roosevelt Creek.
Yeah. So it was on this boat, the boat ride north, that she met Jim Barrick. And Jim Barrick has his own really interesting Alaska history. Mm-hmm. He came up here chasing his father, and his father was a blacksmith. And he comes up, meets his father, and his father says, well, you get a job in the mines. And he worked his butt off, and all he had to show for it was a lot of hard work. He didn't really make any money. So mm-hmm. he took a job in the blacksmith shop across the street from his dad's blacksmith shop, which I thought was kind of okay.
No, that's not.
And then he ends up with his dad, and they were kind of partners. And around the time that he met Ruth, his dad was leaving Alaska. He was going to retire and leave Alaska. So Jim and Ruth, they meet on the boat, and Jim's in the process of, he was one of the partners that owned Sampson Hardware with Hamilton, Brumbaugh, and Kellogg. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they formed this partnership. They named it Sampson Hardware. They had blacksmith services. They supplied hardware, machinery, and equipment for the mines.
And this is located on Garden Island.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Anybody that doesn't know where Sampson Hardware is can hardly call themselves a Fairbanksan.
That's correct.
Yes. So they meet, and, you know, I'm not sure if he ended up going to Kentishna also or not. She was there with her brother. She was there with Mrs. Robertson, who was a photographer, who took photographs during part of this trip. And her and Mrs. Robertson were friends and palled around. And while Ruth was back there at Kentishna, she stayed part of the time with Fanny Quigley. Who Fanny Quigley is a legend in her own right and is one of the more colorful females to come out of the interior region here during the Gold Rush. Fanny could outswear any man. She could outdrink any man, but yet she had a heart of gold. It was rumored that she had worked in the dance halls in the Klondike. Mm-hmm. But her and Joe Quigley made their life back there in the Kentishna district. And so Ruth is a genteel, college-educated young woman, young widow, who stays with Fanny.
Totally opposite. You meet the hard tack of Alaska.
But they became very good friends. And when Fanny would come to Fairbanks, she would always look up Ruth, and she would be out there beating on the door, yelling at the top of her lungs, "Ruth, where are you?" You know. And of course, Ruth would answer the door eventually, and her daughters that her and Jim subsequently had were petrified of Fanny. They thought she was a witch. They'd never met anybody like that.
The nut on the stoop of the stairs at the entrance.
But
of the
Ruth
house.
Never turned Fanny away.
Yeah,
you know, they were friends,
bosom buddies from the outback.
Yes. So Ruth comes up for this visit, falls in love with Alaska, and I suspect fell in love with Jim Barrick, and he fell in love with her, and she goes back to Nebraska, and there's all these headlines in these Nebraska and Iowa papers about her trip to the Kentishna, reporting on it, what all she did. I mean, that was just a wild and crazy thing for a young woman to do, and everybody wanted to know about it. Well, it wasn't long thereafter that Mr. Barrick shows up and says, well, let's get hitched. Mm-hmm. And so they did. On their way back up here, they got married in Denver, Colorado.
Well, yeah, but let's sort of go back and the things that she did. She was the first white woman ever in the Denali National Park. That's Mount McKinley National Park. That's what they say.
I don't know about that, because I would say Fanny Quigley probably beat her to that.
Yeah, I'm misreading the
I don't think that that's entirely accurate.
Well, that's what they were publicizing back then.
That came from the UAF.
Yeah. This is a 1920 publication. You know, so.
No, this is a UAF journey, notable people. But, yeah, it says there that she was the first. I think that one
Quigley's,
is the one.
Then undertaking the Mount McKinley, first experience with the Quigleys, and then a trip was undertaken to the Mount McKinley National Park in Wonder Lake and until the 10-day boat trip up the Pecos River. Yeah, so anyway.
I don't think that was, yes, that's a newspaper article from the Omaha Daily Bee, and I don't think that's entirely accurate.
Nothing like taking one of your own and putting fluff on it.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, now, come on, you know about that. You do make the paper, and you go, where did they get that from?
What are you insinuating?
So, anyway, her and Jim Barrett get married in Colorado. Now, a lot of his family was in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And so I suspect that what happened is he took her home to meet his father or the rest of the family, and then they got hitched in Denver on their way up here.
Okay.
And, of course, it starts making before they even get here. It starts making the newspapers here in Fairbanks that he has a wife now and that he's marrying Mrs. Wilson. And as soon as they hit Fairbanks, they start, they set up housekeeping, and she has, she ended up having three daughters, and she was raising the daughters, but Ruth is not going to sit at home and knit. You know, she was a person who was very social. She was also a very community-minded person. And so she started making her footprint in Fairbanks. Part of it was being involved with the Masons mm-hmm. early on through the Eastern Star. Her husband was a Mason. And then she's also... helping out with Rainbow Girls and the PTA. And that's kind of where she begins to really make a mark here in Fairbanks, is with those groups. And she's very active. Fairbanks in those days had many, many, many social functions that were put on by different groups. There was always dances and dinners and parties and... She's always a part of all of those.
The social life of Fairbanks.
Yes. Always at the middle of all of those. She was very accepted into the upper echelons of Fairbanks polite society.
Alrighty then.
But at the same time, when you start reading all the articles and what I gave you, he has a whole packet. There's like 40 pages of newspaper articles. Mm-hmm. That's only a small smattering of what I found.
Yes.
So any group that she got involved with, she quickly rose to the top of the echelon of that organization or group. Mm-hmm. And that's somebody who has a lot of social skill and a lot of organizational skills and is able to connect people and get them to work together. And she must have been absolutely phenomenal at that, to be able to have the history that she has. And I'm a person who does some of that stuff, and I really have to admire somebody that can have that much accomplishment.
Because
it's very difficult to keep people focused and working as a group toward a common goal when you're in the realm of volunteer. All of this was mostly volunteer work. Most of it was not paid. And, she just excelled at it. And, for me, that's, like, amazing.
She was an amazing lady, very... when she arrived at the house, the grace that she had, you could tell this was one special lady that just walked in the house, and she put up with the Prue's boys very well. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to give you a little bit of some bumper music, The Doors' Peace Frog. Oh, my God. Then we're going to go into Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we will be back. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The highest court has ruled not to take Donald Trump off its primary ballot. The decision, in contrast to an earlier Colorado Supreme Court ruling, Fox's Chad Pergram.
Mr. Trump is off the ballot in Colorado for now. Colorado is not a swing state. However, Michigan is. The Wolverine state could determine who wins the White House in 2024. That's why Democrats hope to force former President Trump off the ballot.
Those looking to remove Trump, citing the 14th Amendment's insurrection clause. There are growing concerns about increasing encounters between the Pentagon and Iranian-backed militants in the Middle East.
Yesterday alone, we understand that 12 attack drones, 3 anti-ship ballistic missiles, and 2 cruise missiles were actually shot down by the American Eisenhower carrier strike group.
Fox's Trey Yinks. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that ConocoPhillips announced last Friday the company's final investment decision to move forward with constructing a massive oil development project known as the Willow Project, following the U.S. Department of Interior's previous decision. We are excited to reach this significant milestone, Ryan Lance, ConocoPhillips chairman and CEO, said in a statement. With this project authorization, we've begun winter construction and Alaskans have started to receive the benefits from responsible energy development. Citing the Bureau of Land Management in their news release, the company said the project could generate $8 billion to $17 billion in new revenue for the state, federal government, and Alaska Native communities. Alaska's congressional delegation supports the project and welcomed President Biden administration's approval in March, which opened up 3 drilling sites for ConocoPhillips after a separate decision to protect nearly 16 million acres of state land from development. In their news release, the company also said the project went through 5 years of regulatory and environmental
review. Online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV, a motorcycle, a golf cart? Whatever moves you drives them. Stop in or shop online at BatteriesPlus.com.
Yes, Taco Thursday is a thing, and it happens every Thursday at Big Daddy's. Big Daddy's serves up the most amazing chicken tacos, complete with shredded cheese. These chicken tacos are delicious and filling, and you can enjoy them for just $1.50 each every Thursday at Big Daddy's Barbecue. And don't miss out on those sides as well, including fries, okra, baked beans. The menu is full of great ideas and great value. We'll see you for Chicken Taco Thursday at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues, the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Big Daddy's.
It's time for the 2024 Fairbanks Bunny Festival. Friday and Saturday night, January 12th and 13th at the Pioneer Park Theater, featuring the hilarious Lachlan Patterson, along with a group of locals doing stand-up for the very first time. Or catch Lachlan's preview show Thursday the 11th at the Spur. All shows are at 7 o'clock. Week 2, we bring you one night of the world-famous Sklar Brothers. These shows always sell out, so get your tickets now at aktickets.com. The Fairbanks Bunny Festival, brought to you by Good Cannabis, Zach's at Sophie's Station Hotel, and the radio station.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. In the studio with me is Joni Skillbred. We're talking a little bit about Ruth Barrett, an incredible lady, but you also mentioned something about being behind a ore hauler and that experience. And it wasn't an experience at all, according to you.
Oh, you want to switch gears.
I want to. For a bit.
Okay. Well, yes, I had a couple of experiences with the dreaded ore hauling trucks that have just been making headlines in Fairbanks over the last 6 months. Oh my gosh, you know, and they're running them. I don't think they're running them with full loads, or it looks like they're running them with partial loads, and it looks like they're still testing. I have to say, you know, I went down to Delta, and it was at night. The first time I saw one, I went, what in the world is that? And then I realized, I went, oh.
That's where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't get what the big deal is. I saw them on the road, you know, about, I don't know, probably 12 to 15 minutes apart. It was a lot of time. And that's a long time. That's a lot of road between them. I didn't see that they were holding anybody up. But then the other night, I went to Chattanooga, and I got behind one right there by the Pedro Monument.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, I get to go over Cleary with one of these.
Okay.
And a friend of mine calls him. He was in the trucking industry, and they've been doing this for years in Canada. Mm-hmm. And he calls them B-trains. And so that's what I call them, is B-trains. But anyway, it went up just fine. It didn't have to drop the trailer. It had both of them, you know, so the two loads, they're in tandem. It hauled them up. And, yeah, you go a little slow, but with those corners, you have to go slow. And by the time we got up to the top, he was doing about 20, which was no big deal.
Chugging along.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I had to drive for years. I drove the Elliott in and out of these big trucks hauling big, big loads, crawling along at 15 miles an hour. And, you know, I don't get what the big deal is. It was fine.
Well,
I didn't feel that I was in danger. I didn't see that there was a hazard. It was fine.
Just normal transportation.
Yes, it was fine.
Well, we have a phone call. It's probably going to be about your B-train.
Probably.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Okay.
Why are you keep saying Ruth Barrett, like Al Barrett on the game?
No, Barrick. B-A-R-R-A-C-K.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying Ruth Burnett.
No. Ruth Barrick. And Mel, I got your message. I got your message about the calamari, so thank you, sir.
You're pronouncing it differently between you, and I wasn't sure who you were talking about.
No, we both said Barrick.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, I appreciate you listening, and appreciate you listening about this fantastic lady, and Ruth Barrick, and exceptional person. And there's Ruth Burnett. James Barrick, he was mayor of Fairbanks, I think, it was about 1928 or right in there.
Yeah.
Mel, you have a great day, buddy. Appreciate the phone call.
So going back to Ruth, so Ruth was, if you look at the list of things that she did, she was very civic minded. And education was like right at the top of her list. And anything that had to do with education, she was 100% behind. And she would donate 100% of her energy to it. And she was, a lot of these groups in town, she was at the center of doing the fundraising for them and was amazing. I mean, she was pretty creative in putting on events that would raise money, selling items. You know, she went after it every way that she could. One of my favorite things that she was at the center of doing, before we had the Noel Wien Library, we had the George Thomas Memorial Library, which is still there on the corner of Cowles and First Avenue. And it sits pretty much empty, which is really sad. But until the late 70s, that was our library in this town. And in 1910, I think it was, that building opened in 1909, and around 1910, the ladies' guild that supported the library got together, and they did a big portrait of them on the the porch of the library.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth was right at the center, her and Mary Binkley and Sylvia Ringstad, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of those ladies said, we want to recreate that photograph, which they did. And this was in the mid-1970s. And this was to get attention for the library. She raised a lot of money for the library. And then when they moved to Noel Ween Library and they opened that library up, that's why they named the auditorium after her, because she had done so much for them. And she worked. It was a tough sell to get Fairbanks to realize that they needed a new modern library.
And at the same time, they had competition to build a new modern hospital.
Yes.
So ponder that at the same time.
Yes. And this was Fairbanks, who still had the pre-pipeline mentality mm-hmm. of, if we build it, nobody's going to come.
You're correct.
Yes. And so she was remarkable that she could accomplish all of that. When the new school was built, on February 13th, 1934, it opened up. And it was the wooden school that had the cupola at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter.
Maine School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And her daughter, this newspaper article says, the occasion was also marked by little Bonnie Barrick, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. James Barrick, and granddaughter of John Barrick, who was active in the first school organization. She was lighting 30 candles on a large cake to represent the 30th birthday of the school. So her daughter had the honor of doing that. And, you know, that was shows the status that they had in the community. She was involved in patriotic events, you know, for Memorial Day and the like. She was usually, when they had programs or services, she would have a part to play in that. At the university, she wasn't an alumni at UAF. She went to school down in Iowa, but she felt that UAF was her adopted school. And she really did a lot to promote UAF events. And one of the things that she was very, very noteworthy for, right up until 1979, she had attended every single UAF commencement ceremonies.
Yeah.
All their graduations. And nobody had attended more of them than her. She was by far, hands down, I mean, and very revered for it. And when she got older and her health started failing and she missed that first one, I mean, it was written upon in the newspaper and it was sad. I mean, people were really feeling bad about it.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, Dave, it's Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this lady and you guys putting this show on. Every time I get a chance, I'm in the shop right now tearing a plow apart, and I can't stop listening. I find myself stopping turning wrenches just to listen to what, you know, the back and forth is going on. So this should be high school level teaching mandatory in our schools for history of Alaska. Because I've learned so much from you two on this that it really makes me enjoy Alaska more and more.
Rick, thank you so much. That means so much to Joni and myself. And
yes,
she's smiling,
thank you.
She's glowing. And that's why we do this, because we have such a rich and wonderful history. And we'll get an idea, then Joni digs into it. And watch out, man. Here it comes. She sent me this information last night. I was texting her back going, wow, you know, I thank you for letting me be a part of this.
I want to stop talking because I want to go back to listening. But
you got it, buddy. Appreciate it.
I've never met this lady. I just want to thank her very much from the bottom of my heart. You really made my day. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Now here's one. In the Fairbanks Daily News Miner on February 26, 1937, The Kindergarten Association has a meeting. Then it goes down here. And it says, it discuss child psychology.
Yes.
And it says, Mrs. James Barrick, who studied psychology last year, which would be 1936, in Los Angeles, California, gave a very interesting discussion on child psychology. She advocated that parents should learn to know their children. Important factors mentioned were care and health of child, encouragement of hobbies, sympathetic views of parents, self-confidence of child, and seriousness of complexes. Mrs. Barrick's remarks were enjoyed and appreciated by all present. She was talking about child
before Dr. Spock.
Mental health.
Before Dr. Spock.
Mental health.
Yes.
Back in 1937 in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yes. Yes. Now, one thing, you know, so they would, her and her husband would leave for visits to the lower 48 during the winter months. And then they would come back. He had family in Idaho and in California and some in Washington. And then she had family in Nebraska and Iowa. And so they would go on these vacations to visit, but then they would always come back. And so the psychology classes she took in Los Angeles was on one of these trips, you know, because they would go during the winter months. But yes, there's one article here that I thought was really cute from 1939 about a household member of their family. His name was Chatter.
The squirrel.
And Chatter, he can and does, to the great delight of scores of kitties of Fairbanks. Chatter is none other than the liveliest little pet squirrel in captivity and lives at the home of Mr. and Mrs. James Barrick, where he is the pet of their young daughters, Barbara and Bonnie. Found a baby orphan at Lynn Smith Point on Lake Harding 5 months ago by Barbara and adopted by Bonnie and Beverly, now outside, the little fellow has become a great attraction to the small boys and girls. I thought that that was kind of cute.
Yes, now, nowadays, you'd have a visitor from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't be able to do that. Yes. Goodness. Yes, so there's also a really interesting tidbit here from the drag line, which was kind of the community in the know little column, and it's from 1940, March of 1940, and it says, spring is near. I know. Mrs. James Barrick informed Mr. Barrick, a woman who has 14 hats, and I only have three. It's ridiculous. It certainly is, he responded. What on earth do two women want with 17 hats? And I think she was probably speaking metaphorically.
True.
Oh,
true.
Yes. Yes. So the university got into trouble in the late 40s. They got into a bit of a financial pickle. And Ruth Barrick led the way to bail them out. And what she proposed doing was, we're going to have some of the wealthier people in the community offer loans to the university to get liquidity back so that they could keep going.
And cash, she infusion was, of cash.
She was the first one. She offered up $10,000 in 1948, which was, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Add a zero behind it,
yes.
At least.
Yes.
And maybe even a little more. And, you know, I mean, if you think about that, $100,000, you know, that's a lot of money. And she had that much faith in the university and what it could do for Fairbanks. And she got other people in the community to offer up similar amounts, and it saved the university. And this was when Dr. Bunnell came on board. You know, he kind of inherited a mess, and she worked with him. And she was eventually paid back. The university paid back all of those loans, but that was very remarkable rather than just letting them founder. She greatly valued that higher education. In 1953, she made Woman of the Week in Fairbanks, and they had a nice picture of her, and they wrote about her life and all the groups that she was involved in. You know, and it's quite a lengthy article. You know, the funny thing is, though, is that it doesn't give a lot of details, and it never mentions, none of these articles ever mention that she was married before she came here.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers, plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top-quality job, fixing it all at a reasonable price, well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem. They're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay. Well done.
Did you miss your favorite local show on KFAR Radio? Just log on to our website, kfarradio.com, and click the Archives tab to find all past episodes of shows like Problem Corner, Health Talk, Fairbanks Foodies, Alaska Realty Today, Shooter's Corner, and the Compos Outdoor Show. Hours of entertaining, informative, local programs produced exclusively for KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Online at kfarradio.com. We are KFAR, the heartbeats of Alaska. KFAR weather.
Mainly sunny skies this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 9 below. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 22 below. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 13 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. In the studio here with Joni Skilbred, and we're going through Ruth Barrick, her The Life and Times, and, you know, and she's something else. You know, I don't want to call her a pioneer lady. She's more a pioneer princess, just the way she did things. You know, she... The organizational skills.
She was definitely the golden heart of Fairbanks for a while.
That's
for sure.
That's probably the best way to describe her. Thank you. That is the best way.
I think so. I haven't run across any women that did as much as she did.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, she really, really, really made a mark here. Well, she made Fairbanks a much better place to live.
From when she hit the ground to when she passed away.
So as she raised her family, she was involved in all of these things, civic stuff, and, you know, her daughters all grew up and got married, and Barbara was living in California, and Ruth went back to visit her, and her daughters would come up here and visit, and she would visit them down in the States. She was very close to her daughters. And...
There was Barbara, Bonnie, and Beverly.
And Barbara, the oldest, she died of cancer at a young age. And that was a really such a heartbreaking thing. And Ruth started a scholarship fund in Barbara's name. And for the rest of Ruth's life, she granted $1,000 scholarship every year to a worthy student in the name of her daughter. Which was, you know, very, I mean, that was for many, many, many years and very commendable, you know. She helped, she channeled her grief into something that was going to make Fairbanks better. And, you know, I mean, there aren't very many people like that.
No,
there's in the
not.
World, you know, that's a pretty special thing.
Then her business acumen was so good that, you know, you don't get put on the bank board.
Well, so her husband died
yeah.
in 1954, and she was a wealthy
widow.
And she took a big chunk of that money, and I'm sure there was some life insurance money, I'm going to guess. But she took a bunch of that money, and she invested it in the Bank of the North.
Yep.
And who was there? Frank Murkowski was.
He was later.
He was the vice president for a while. Yeah. She was on the board. She held several positions over her time.
Ralph Bailey. Yep.
Yes. And she held several positions on the board of directors with that bank, but she also had controlling interest.
Mm-hmm.
She had a big financial stake in that bank.
Yes.
And so she was, boy, when she got into that, you know, now you're getting into a whole different realm of influence in a community.
Yeah.
When
you know, you're on equal footing with Stroker.
Oh, yes, she was.
Exactly.
And
most people don't realize that. She was.
Yes, she was. And she knew everybody in town, and everybody knew her. And she was, I've never, ever, ever heard anybody say anything about her that was in the slightest way negative. I've never seen anybody roll their eyes when you mention her name.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I mean, everybody's like, oh, Ruth Barrick. Yeah, she was really something special. And, you know, that's even all these years after.
My dad told me stories about her. And he said that she was buying gold directly from the miners before they got it to the assaying office. You know, things like that. Because her brother, they grew up mining.
Yes.
So, anyway. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. So how do you want to finish this up about Ruth Barrick?
Well,
wish we had more time.
Her home that she had over in Garden Island, she had a house over there. And in June 1st, 1959, was the creation of Tanana Clinic. And that was in her house. And she had leased it to the Dunlap brothers.
Yeah, and Mr. Lindquist, yeah.
And Mr. Lindquist, and that was the first she hit. So, you know, she kind of gave them their start
yeah.
for Tanana Clinic, which is still here today.
Yeah.
Yes. And I just, you know, she served in the college trustee board. She just, I mean, she did everything. We have a lot, you know. Hopefully Fairbanks will have another Ruth Barrick.
Yeah, she's on the board of directors for 13 years at the Bank of the North, you know, from like 1955 to 68,
mm-hmm.
you know, right in there. So something else, and I always said it was after she left was the demise of the Bank of the North. Sad.
Yes, and she was just amazing. So, so next month I wanted to do hydro projects in the interior.
Hey, whatever you want to do.
You know, we're gonna build a dam, and we're gonna set up a water powered turbine, and we're gonna make everybody's electrical dreams come true.
Oh, those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end.
Well, we're all about alternative energy.
I know.
You know, and I want to talk about the history of that, because we have history of that that goes back further than what most people would think.
Yep. Joni, thank you so much for the presentation on Ruth Barrick. This was a personal one for me, as you know.
You're welcome.
So appreciate it. And Fairbanks, that is our show for today. You have a great Wednesday. Hopefully you had a great Christmas, and I will see you on Friday.